This morning we have a true and exciting story of the prophet Jonah as God works in his life and through his life. And I'm a little bit different than a lot of the background of the church folk growing up. I never heard of Jonah, never heard of the big fish. And so as time went on, you know, you get introduced to God's word and you think, oh my, God really did great things through the prophet Jonah and his life. And we could identify with him in a lot of ways and learn in our relationship with God in terms of how God treated Jonah and how the Lord will respond to us, treat us. Jonah did his preaching about 750 B.C., 2 Kings 14 and around there, thanks to the commentaries and so forth. And a very short message, about 3 pages from the prophet Jonah to people. And in his life, we have the Lord. He's front and center in the book of Jonah, as he's front and center in all the books of the Bible. In fact, he's front and center in your life. And anything that ever happened to you or around you, God has been the main one. So keep that in mind as you face life and respond sometimes as Jonah did. And then we have pagan sailors in the story. We have a catastrophic storm. We have a big fish. We have a big evil city, Nineveh. And you go on the computer, you type up Nineveh, you know, and it says, doesn't exist, but located just about where Mosul is in modern-day Iraq. So, evil, wicked city, even after turning to the Lord for a while, you know, historically, just a big-time place of violence and confusion and, you know, just who knows what's going to happen in Mosul. Same deal. You want to go to Mosul? No. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Same way. And then you have Tarshish, kind of where Jonah wants to go. And major themes in God's word through the prophet Jonah, just looking at the big picture first here, running from the Lord. That's what Jonah did for the whole first chapter. And a good definition of sin, running from the Lord. Jonah pretty much says, I'd rather die than obey God. And sometimes that's the draw of sin in our lives. You know, really rather die than obey God. Not maybe physically, but spiritually. Oh, I'll climb in the mud rather than obey God. That's not God's will for us. And then running back to the Lord. Good definition of repentance. That's what Jonah does also. God gives him a chance to come back. And you and I could do that. If you'd like to have heaven be filled with some joy about your life, you know what you could do? You can repent. Repentance causes angels to rejoice. So any one of us, you know, as we turn to God in an area of our life and say, I trust God. And with His help, I'll follow His way. You get the standing ovation in heaven. And the Lord gives us the strength to do that. So running back to God, that's what we want to do. And then quarreling with God. That's what Jonah did. That's what you and I do on a fairly regular basis. He says, I'm angry enough to die. And we'll talk about that in a little while. And then there's a theme, obey God or else God will make you obey Him. That seems like a rough message. But the invitation is there, obey God. We could do that gladly, willingly, or we could do so with God putting us in a situation where, oh no, I have no choice other than to obey God. And God can even use that reluctance as a way to honor Him. You know, it was through the reluctance of a prophet that God saved the whole city. So sometimes you say, I can't obey God, my attitude's not exactly right. Listen, when you die and go to heaven, your attitude will be exactly right. In the meantime, obey God, trust Him, and He'll help your heart love Him along the way. So, another good message from the book, God can save anyone. He saves Jonah. He saves the pagan sailors. He saves Nineveh. He can save you or I. Okay, friends and neighbors we're concerned about. And then repentance is for everyone. Repentance is a daily experience of the Christian. We get ready to go to sleep and say, "Oh Lord, I know tomorrow I can follow you with your help this way, and I didn't do that today." Conversations like that can happen. You know, God allows U-turns in our lives on a regular basis. According to folks who work with people, they say change is the hardest thing a person can ever do. That's repentance. We can't repent without God's help. And then, I like this one, bless the world because God raises the dead. And this reminds us of God's promise to Abraham and his descendants, which we are kind of adopted into that blessing. God told Abraham, "Through you and your descendants, I will bless all the nations of the earth." So we kind of know our vision, as it were. Hey, go bless the nations with the news of Christ. Okay? Remember, our job primarily is not to condemn. Well, that's not our job at all. In fact, Jesus said in John 3:17, "I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world." And so we have that same calling. Okay, the world's condemned already. Why would you kick dirt in a man's face who's on death row? That's not much of a ministry. You know, people on death row are kicking dirt in their own faces. They don't need a Christian to come and do it. But bless the world with news of Christ and the strength and love of Christ. So that's good news. And then this one here, which is, I think, a lot of our experience with God. Bad guys repent. Good guys get angry. Okay. Yesterday I was having a conversation with one of my family members, and I was angry, and I thought, I don't know if I'm in the right part of the sentence over here. Bad guys repent, good guys get angry. About the repentance, there's holy anger, of course, but Jonah in the Old Testament can often be seen as a virgin of the story of Jesus and the prodigal son. So you remember the bad guy? He repented. The good guy, the older brother, he got angry. Okay, so sometimes we have to watch the anger in our lives. We don't understand, oh God, he blessed the rascal. He blessed the one who was most evil. How did that happen? The repentance. Jesus is into going and helping the ones who were lost. So that's a wonderful thing, and we can not get angry about that, but repent ourselves so we're on the right side of the sentence. And then just a picture of the story here. God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach against it. He runs from the Lord. He jumps into a ship headed for Tarshish. It's kind of the place he wants to be, his dream city. I thought of the old song, "Life Could Be a Dream, Shaboom, Shaboom." Maybe he was singing that when he was on that boat. If you're under 50, you never heard this song. It's a good one. People were swaying with that imaginary thing. But he goes in the opposite direction of Nineveh. God sends a storm then. Pagan sailors tell Jonah, Jonah's sleeping, "Wake up, pray to your God to get us out of this mess." Jonah says, "It's my fault. Throw me overboard and, you know, the storm will stop." And the Lord, they throw him overboard. He's going to die. The Lord sends a big fish to save Jonah's life. 3 days and three nights in the big fish. And you can have a lot of fun, you know, looking for the scientific fish that would swallow a person. God bless for your great, you know, excitement at that point. But don't miss the Lord in the story, okay? I know you're interested in the fish and so forth. But God gets Jonah's attention. Jonah prays. "Oh, in my distress, I called to the Lord. He answered me." Boy, when you're in distress, good example to follow. Call to the Lord. He'll answer you. He brought my life up from the pit, and salvation comes from the Lord. Jonah's soul and life is saved. He's saved from the storm. He's saved from the fish. Now, is he going to be saved from himself? That's the yet to be seen. And so the good news so far, God does whatever's necessary to save Jonah from his disobedience. So if you're disobeying God, don't expect God to leave you alone. He will come after you out of love. And he'll do whatever it takes to get you going in the right direction. Charles Spurgeon talked about God's work in his life. He said, only God can bring life to a soul. So if my soul feels dead, only God can bring life to it. I look to God. Spurgeon said, if I rise, it's because God raises me. If I sin, it's all of me. If I have righteousness, it's all of God. And he was really trusting Christ, both for the gift of heaven, peace with God, but how to live as a Christian. We want to trust Christ, make it all about him. And Jonah, he loses his life in the sea and the fish to get a new life. And Jesus said, Jonah's like the Messiah who would be in the earth. You know, a couple of days and then risen. The second application to keep to our heart, if we're like Jonah, the pagan soldiers are trying to wake us up. And they're saying, pray for us because we're in trouble. I don't know if you watch the news and you think, you know, boy, what a bunch of chaos that is. It's really the world calling out, somebody pray for us. We're in trouble. And Jonah, wake up. The people of God, sometimes we sleep while the pagan world cries for help. We don't want to be that way. We'll be alert to the trouble around us. The Lord will wake us up and God will rescue others. He's all about rescuing the pagans. A lot in the story. Rescued the pagan sailors. Rescued Nineveh. Rescued Jonah. Might even rescue you and I. You know, when our hearts are, we know the need. So God does that. So on to Nineveh we go. And Jonah goes to Nineveh. Preaches for 40 days. He says, destruction's going to happen at the end of my preaching. And Nineveh, it's a terrible place. Craig Barnes, a good old preacher, said Nineveh was a real historical terrible place, but really stands for the worst place in your life and my life. So that's what Jonah thought of that. A lot of pain there. But here's the worst, here's the most difficult time in my life. God says, go there. Nobody wants to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is like returning to relationships that have been abusive and trying to get God's peace from them, not so you could be more abused, but so you could say God was greater than the difficulty there. Nineveh's the hospital floor where only the terminal patients go. Oh, that we all know. That's you get to know which floor that is in each hospital. And Nineveh's a place where we say, "What I feared has come upon me," like Job said. And when you get to Nineveh, you say, why is this happening to me? Jonah, he preached and it went the total opposite direction. And Nineveh is a place where you say, I don't expect to find life here. It's just death and badness. Nineveh will never be a holy place, thought Jonah. But for God to make the most painful time in your life a holy place, now that would be something. The Lord can do that. You know, and people in Nineveh believe God. They repent 100%. And the king, he sets the example. He says, call on God urgently, everybody. Don't eat and don't dress up. Dress like you're in trouble. And give up your evil ways. And call on God urgently. If you have a position of influence on others, you know, in the home or community or church, it's good to say, call on God urgently. Don't be afraid to be urgent. Lord knows you were urgent about something this week. Be urgent to call on God. He's worth your while. Your enthusiasm, your adrenaline, you know, or your collapsing rest. He's worthy of those. Urgently calling God, and God has compassion. He doesn't destroy the city. 120,000 people are rescued. And so you look at Nineveh, something we could take, that resurrection doesn't happen to alleged health.
Right.
If, you know, it doesn't happen. You don't need if you're healthy, said Jesus. Resurrection happens to the sick and to the dead. So if you're spiritually sick and you're spiritually dead, resurrection is for you. Jonah's life was a mess, and having your life as a mess is a prerequisite for God doing something in your life. Because if you're all together, he'll just move on to the next guy. There. So, to Nineveh and to Jonah, God brings new life. And in Jonah's final chapter with God, chapter 4, his relationship with God explodes. He's very angry. And God's word says, exceedingly displeased. I don't know, that's, there are really times in your life where you're just, you've had it. The old Hebrew means like to break into pieces, to say this is totally no good. Exceedingly displeased. Jonah's anger is mentioned 4 times by God in the chapter. He tells God, I want to die. Says that 3 times, I want to die. I don't know, you probably got mad at people in your life and maybe thought, drop dead. Well, he's not telling anybody to drop dead. Jonah's saying to himself, drop dead, Jonah. I want to die. And that some great people in the Bible wanted to die, even after God did good things. Jonah, I wish I was dead. Elijah, he said, I'm going to lay down and just die here. Now, that was both times after they saw great miracles. God did the miracle for Jonah out of the fish. God did the miracle for Elijah on Mount Carmel. So sometimes we think, if God would just do this miracle in my life, I'd follow him from here to heaven, you know, with total gladness. Sometimes we get the miracle and we say, I just want to die. Because we need God more than we need that miracle. Although, we'll be asking for the miracle also. No problem with that. So Jonah says, I want to die, and if you ever feel that way, you're in company that, you know, people have walked. Jesus said, I'm sick unto death in Gethsemane. And I wanted to die twice in my life. It was both selfish conditions, not from brokenheartedness of the soul or anything. One was seasick. You want to die if you're seasick. Number 2 is when I swallowed too much chewing tobacco. Okay. God was saying, you don't want to do that. That is the chewing. The swallowing was providential. But one preacher said, you know, when you feel that way and it gets down, it's easy to get depressed. So, it would be a lot easier to die than to go on. I wish I was dead. One hard line preacher said, nobody ever said, I wish I would die, and then they died. So you could stop that. In other words, God's not going to answer that prayer. Okay. But he gives you himself so you could have life. Life forever. That's better. And so God is working with Jonah. He sends a lot of things to Jonah, even at the end. Sends him a plant to give him shade. He sends a caterpillar to eat the plant. Have Jonah be uncomfortable again. If you're uncomfortable, why am I uncomfortable? Maybe God is showing you something about your soul. And then God says to Jonah, you know, Jonah, you're still angry, especially since his plant died. You didn't provide the plant. And you cared about that plant. I provided the plant. And I know the people of Nineveh. And you wanted the comfort of that plant. That was like your favorite plant. But now, I want my grace to be on these people. So shouldn't I be concerned about 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left? as much as you were concerned about that plant, it's a good check for us. To pick the thing in your life at the moment you have the most fondness of, the most gladness of. You know, oh, this is kind of my plant. It provides me comfort, security. Here's my joy right here, this little plant. And God says, you know how you love that? That's how much I love lost people. The worst lost people. That's how much I love them. And so God offers that experience of comfort from Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah just sits there. Good thing about the story, we don't know what Jonah says after that. He writes down all his experiences with God. And God gave Nineveh, Jonah, opportunity of new life with God. And it's just a closing illustration, I think, shows God's heart for Nineveh and Jonah. Eugene Peterson, when he was 5 years old, he loved the Bible. So he's hanging out on his neighborhood, and he's near a farm. He loves to go to the farm and watch the farmer work, Mr. Storm. Mr. Storm is a big guy. He always rides a tractor. And Eugene Peterson just loves to go and watch that, you know, big John Deere tractor, yellow and green. And so he wanders on the land one time to be close to Mr. Storm. Mr. Storm stops the tractor, stands up, and starts waving his arms towards Eugene Peterson. And, of course, little five-year-old, he's thinking, oh, man, he knows I'm on his land. He's mad now. So he runs away and hides. And the following Sunday in church, Mr. Storm sees little Eugene and says, you know, hey, why'd you run away when I saw you there? He said, well, I thought you were mad at me on that tractor and you were going to yell at me and maybe run me over with that tractor. And Mr. Storm said, I wasn't waving at you to hit you or to do you harm. I was waving at you to come and sit on the tractor with me, to be with me and do some work with me. And sometimes the message we want to pass to the world is, you know, God is waving his arms through his son and his people saying, well, come up, come, this is really important. You can, God's peace can be part of your life, and forgiveness and help and strength and certainly presence and not everything great at all, but at least you'll be with him, something you have. Apparently, he drew your eye to God and not driving you from him, because the Lord knows you're away from him anyway at the start. So could you see your Nineveh in need of the grace of God? See yourself like Jonah and myself like Jonah? We don't understand God. We just get miffed at him and his ways very often. But he still speaks to us, provides what's needed to know him better. And give the Lord credit in your life and then throughout Jonah's life. If you look at Jonah in closing, God sends the word. He sends the storm. He sends the fish. He sends the plant. He sends the caterpillar. He sends the uncomfortable wind. And he sends himself to Jonah. So see his love for you in what's happening to your soul, as Jonah did. So let's pray and trust God for these things. Lord, give a grace to each of your children here as we are like Jonah, like Nineveh, in need of yourself. And we could know how to trust and follow you, even be like that pagan king, probably the worst guy in the story, to tell everybody, let's urgently pray to God, or else we're all going to get wiped out. And it's certainly good to trust you, even when we don't understand you or when we get mad at your ways. And we can know you anyway. Just bless each one here with strength, comfort, and your calling in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.